Welcome to Coffee Conversations here at Church on the Drive. My name's Josh.
I'm Anna.
And me and Anna are going to sit here and talk this afternoon a little bit about this past Sunday's message. So this past Sunday, we talked about divorce, which is everybody's favorite subject on a Sunday morning, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
But it is one that so many people have to deal with in their life. Like, I can't think of a single person I know who hasn't been touched by divorce, and I can't think of a single person who doesn't have to think about this, at least as a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anybody who doesn't have to think about this and what it does. Can you?
No, I was thinking about that too. Like, even as someone who's single and not married, it still is something that affects my life, my friends' lives. Like, I've seen it in different friends, and like, how do we as Christ followers are there for one another, support right. them, encourage them? Like, what does that look like?
Right. Exactly. So did you come up with any great answers?
No.
No.
No. I did think, like, you know, you said, like, God covenants to be with us and to be for us as we grow into who we are made to be. And I kept thinking about, like, that's not just for, like, covenantal relationships like a marriage. It's almost like it's for all of our relationships. And to think about how is that true in any relationship that we have, any friendship that we have, but specifically, like, what you talked about with marriage.
Yeah, it should be. I think that the norm for us to say, okay, how does my relationship with Jesus inform this thing I'm doing with this person, whatever it is?
Like,
how does that work out for me? I think so often we go through life and we try to compartmentalize faith and, like, this is what I do on Sunday, maybe Wednesday if I'm a really good Christian, you know? Yeah. And I stop applying it to every relationship in my life, especially the ones that I'm really close with somebody, because I can put that on autopilot. You know, the temptation, I think, around marriage is... And really any significant relationship in our life, but especially marriage, is to put it on autopilot and say, you know, this is what we do on Mondays. This is what we do on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night is pizza night, and we watch Netflix. And, like, I may not watch what I want to watch, but that's what we do. And, you know, what does it look like for my Jesus following-ness, for lack of a better term, to inform the way I interact with these people in my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else? You know, I get up there and I talk for forever, and you know, I think about certain things that really land with me as I'm kind of giving stuff out. And but what I know is that different things hit different people differently.
Right.
So maybe what was something that for you, you said, Josh, you said this. Can we talk more about that? Or
yeah, I thought you said we're talking about covenant, not feelings. And I was thinking about, like, in all relationships, like, there's feelings that are involved. And, you know, you maybe you lose the butterflies at some point or whatever that looks like. But, like, it's about covenant. And so maybe expand more on that. Like, what does that look like? Or
yeah. Okay. So in the Old Testament, if you go and you look at what this covenant between God and Israel looks like, and you look at the covenants that people make, there seems to be a little bit of a difference. There are some pastors who say this a little bit differently than me, but it seems to me that a covenant is different than a contract, right? Because the contract says, if I do my part and you do your part, then this agreement is still in place.
Right.
But if one of us breaks our part of the contract, well, then the contract is null and void, right? Or I can sue you or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas with a covenant, at least as the way that we see God exemplifying this covenant with Israel, a covenant seems to be, I always do my part no matter what the other party does. Okay, so we see an example of that with God, correct? Right? Like, God, and especially in what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, what we see is that God keeps coming back for more.
Right.
Now, every once in a while, God will say, look, I warned you, and for your own good, I'm going to remove my hand of protection now, and I'm going to back up and let you choose. And God lets them choose out of love, out of agency. if we apply that same thinking about covenant to our relationship with Jesus, we see the same thing, right? Like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, right, still drawing us, drawing, even though we may be running away, even though as followers of Jesus, like we may do stuff that really is in contradiction to what Jesus would teach, mm-hmm. He's still drawing us, calling us back, living up to his part of the covenant, even mm-hmm. when we don't. And I think when we talk about the marital relationship as a covenant, we have to understand that I'm still doing my part here, no matter what my wife does. Mm-hmm. And she's still doing her part, no matter what I do, which is both comforting mm-hmm. and a little overwhelming.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
It can be. So I think that when we start to think about it as a covenant, what we're deciding is we're determining ahead of time our posture towards our spouse, period. Mm-hmm. And feelings don't get in the way of that.
Right.
Because anybody who's been married longer than like 3 years will tell you that your feelings fluctuate sometimes.
Yeah.
If we're just being honest, mm-hmm. right? Like they will fluctuate. That doesn't mean like anybody who's been married longer than 3 years wants to run out and cheat on their spouse.
Right, right.
It just means that it's not the same as it was when you were still dating. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be.
Right.
It shouldn't be. It should grow and should be different. And there's a new depth, a new layer. But you only get to that new depth, I think, when you determine ahead of time that you are going to love this person and you are going to be there for that person. You are going to serve that person, that you are connected to that person no matter what happens next.
Right.
If we can get there, I think those are when the best marriages are made.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
No, I think that's great. I mean, I've seen, like, I was thinking as you were speaking, like, my parents have been married for 45 years, and that's it. Like, they have things change. Like, life happens, like, things happen, but they still are there for one another no matter what. I mean, my dad's been sick. My mom has been there. She's covenanted to be there, and she said, like, I ain't leaving him. Like, I've been here this long. Like, we are, like, we're in this together, and right. It's because they chose that from the beginning, that they are going to be there for one another no matter what happens because of the love that they've experienced with the Lord and because their relationship is built on Jesus following.
Yeah.
So it's been a good thing to watch and to see that.
Well, to that point, it's just another area where this I follow Jesus thing mm-hmm. at the center of your life
right.
informs everything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That flies a little bit in the face, I think, of what our modern 21st century American culture would have us do. It's like a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think it's better. And mm-hmm. if Jesus says it's better, I'm tempted to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
What else? Did anything else hit you?
Let me look at my notes that I took.
I mean, that's impressive. Not everybody takes notes. All right.
Well, I mean, you know, what can I say? No, I thought it was good because I think sometimes when we speak about divorce or we speak about marriage, like we don't talk about all the different aspects that comes with that. Like you are very clear to say, like sometimes like when there's abuse there, like that's a whole different story than what we're talking about. Or even like for those who have been divorced, like to remarry. And I thought that was good to kind of pick on all these different aspects of that. Like, I don't know if there's any more you wanted to say about any of those or just expand on different ideas or.
Well, I do want to say like, and I think you'd agree with me that anytime somebody gets, I've never known a single person who got divorced that was super excited about it.
Right.
Right. Even right. people who walk through really difficult seasons where their spouse had an affair or abuse was involved or something like that. I've never known a single one of those people who is over the moon about it.
Right.
You know, they lamented that this relationship was ending, even the way it was ending. They lamented the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to recognize that. Like, mm-hmm. I think we all should make room for that. And as gracious people who've been given grace by a gracious God, like mm-hmm. we should approach anyone who gets a divorce with that understanding that like mm-hmm. this is a really difficult thing. I was talking with a friend yesterday about some of what we said, and he was saying, yeah, I'm glad we talked a little bit about abuse, because that's not listed in Scripture, right?
Like, exactly.
That's not one of the things listed. Right. However, he said, so how do you get there? You know, and mm-hmm. I said, I don't know, man. Like, to be honest with you, I think that when I stand before the Lord and he asks me, hey, how'd you do with all this stuff? Mm-hmm. There's a part of me, like, I'll feel a lot better about it when I say, yeah, you know, I wasn't mad at this lady because she divorced her husband who was beating her.
Right.
You know, like, I'll feel a lot better about it. Now, that's not scriptural. That's not, like, super biblical. But I do think something that is biblical is when Jesus says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Like, right.
And you're supposed to be loving God, your neighbor, and yourself. Mm. And so if that's kind of a foundational piece of Jesus's entire message, which I think it is, mm-hmm. then how does that apply when somebody's being beaten? Mm-hmm. Emotionally, like, abused. Not just,
right.
like, they're getting on each other's nerves, mm-hmm. but, like, it's become detrimental to their health in some way. The rabbis of Jesus's day, they permitted divorce, and divorce was a very permissible thing, and that's really what Jesus is addressing in that moment. He's talking about, like, this has gotten so out of hand. So he said, so he really narrows the scope of what's permissible.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the rabbis also talked a little bit about what a husband's duty was to a wife, right? And it was a few things: food, mm-hmm. clothing, shelter.
Okay. Yeah.
If you, all right. So as a husband, mm-hmm. you're supposed to provide those things. Mm. How can you feel like you have shelter when you come home and every night is a nightmare?
Right.
And that's the context in which Jesus is saying things. Jesus narrows the scope because he's trying to get a point across. Mm-hmm. But, I do think that when we talk about things like sexual immorality, abuse, even Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 7, I think verse 10, about, like, desertion, right? Like, your
right.
spouse deserts you. Like, what do you do then? Like, the earliest Christians after Jesus, the first Christians were trying to figure this stuff out too.
So yeah.
I think what we have to understand is that there is an ethic behind what Jesus is saying, mm-hmm. right? And that ethic is love God, love people as you love yourself, right? And how do you do that in your marriage? Mm-hmm. And some of this stuff is really difficult, and that's why we have to be connected to the Lord and mm-hmm. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we go.
Absolutely.
How would you tell somebody? What do you think?
I think if we truly believe that everyone is made in the image of God, then we're not going to hurt God's creation, mm-hmm. whether that's, like, physically or emotionally or whatever that could look like. And so in the moments where I'm hurting God's creation or in a place where I'm being hurt, like, that's not living up to what God would say, no matter what type of abuse that looks like or what that looks like. And so I don't think that that's what God's best mm-hmm. would be. And so if God... His best is for marriage, a marriage that truly does follow after what God has called us to and to follow after the Lord, and it's not lining up to that, then I would think that there is reason to say, like, this might not be the right thing, and mm-hmm. and to walk through that with people and to help them discover that. And I think you even mentioned, like, you know, if someone is in this and we're trying to figure out, like, you know, what's going on in your marriage, like, there are therapists, there are people, there are professionals that we can point people to and let them have conversations and figure out, like, what is the best for this. And I think that's an important thing.
Right.
Also.
But I do think it's important to say that too, is that mm-hmm. Jesus is for marriage. He's not trying.
Right.
Jesus isn't. Paul wasn't. Mm-hmm. The first Christians weren't. I'm not trying to give people a bunch of outs for divorce
right.
at all.
Absolutely.
In fact, I'm saying the opposite. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, let's narrow the scope as much as possible, remembering that it's about following Jesus together as a couple.
Right, yeah.
I think it's also important to say that Jesus is for marriage, and because of that, we should be for marriage. Mm-hmm. And God, it's ultimately after reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That God wants people to stay together and families to be together. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard word mm-hmm. sometimes, right? Anyway, well, thank you so much for sitting with me and talking about
Absolutely.
It. We're going to do this more and more. I hope that you'll make sure to tune in and join in with us. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to email me at the church or call the church or, I don't know, send us a message, something like that. it all good. So until next time, have a good one.